I've entitled this message, Jesus Went to the Cross to Get You to the Throne. Now, the underworld, and I think we all know this, the underworld was in full force against Christ in the days before his crucifixion. All of the powers of hell were in full attack mode to destroy the Son of God. Now, we know they were unsuccessful in getting him to rebel and to act independently of Almighty God. They were unable to get legal authority over him, so a murderous plot was activated in the realm of the underworld. So, in the realm of the underworld, these that we've learned about, these forces of darkness, these powers of darkness, this very highly structured and organized system of evil and wickedness and darkness was unleashed against Jesus. And they would influence the Jewish religious leaders and also the powers of Rome, because Rome was the ruling power in biblical times, all for the purpose to destroy Jesus. Now, we gain a little insight into what happens in the underworld when Jesus, at the Last Supper, he says this to Judas in John 13:27. He says, now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him, entered Judas. Then Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. Now, we've already learned, talking about the fall of Lucifer, that historically in Isaiah chapter 14, there was an address to the king of Babylon. And then in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 28, there was an address to the king of Tyre. But we understood that neither one of these kings was the anointed cherub that covers the throne of God. We read that, right? So we understand that God was addressing the underworld, the powers of wickedness in the underworld that was controlling these kings. So we see the very same thing applied here. The Last Supper, Jesus gathered with his 12. Judas is the betrayer. So Jesus had already told them, one of you that is sitting here with me is going to betray me. And they began to talk among themselves, wondering who it could be. And then they began to ask, is it I? John leans his head on Christ and says, is it I? And then, of course, Jesus said, the one who dips bread with me, he's the one. So then he says this in John 13:27, after he dipped the bread, Satan entered him. That's a key thing right there. Then Jesus said, what you do, do quickly. So who was he talking to? Was he talking to Judas? Or was he talking to Satan? He was talking to the underworld. So he was talking to the prince of darkness. But Satan did not understand what the death of Christ on the cross would do. Now remember, the devil desired the throne. We learned that. If you were not here for any of these messages, go to the church website and you can pull them up and listen to them. And I would highly encourage you to do so, because it'll give you some tremendous insight and understanding of what's happening in our world today. But in both of those passages of the Old Testament, book of Isaiah, book of Ezekiel, Satan was after the throne. Now, Satan did not understand what the death of Christ on the cross would do. See, the throne that the devil desired would be won by Christ on the cross. And not only that, but that throne would become the destiny and the inheritance of every born-again child of God. Every person who gives their life to Jesus Christ becomes a co-ruler with Christ throughout all of eternity. So that's why I have entitled this message, Jesus Went to the Cross to Get You to the Throne. So let me expound on some thoughts here today. Here's the first one. The devil wanted the throne. That's what he wanted. He wanted the throne. Again, Isaiah 14. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the assembly in the uttermost north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. This is what Lucifer said in eternity past before he influenced Adam and Eve to sin. So the word says here that Satan or Lucifer at the time wanted to ascend. That's very key to see that. He wanted to ascend. That means he wanted to take God's place. He wanted to sit as God on the throne of heaven. He wanted to ascend not so that he could serve, but rather so that he could rule. Are you with me so far? Let's go further. So as a created spirit being, he had delegated authority, but his desire was to have independent authority. The temptation in the wilderness was against Jesus to get him to act independently of God. His attack in the Garden of Gethsemane was the powers of hell unleashed against Jesus once again to get him to act independently of God. But in his prayer to the Father, what did Jesus say? Not my will, but thine be done. But the whole purpose was to get him to influence Jesus to act independently. See, the devil did not want to take orders. He wanted to give orders. Satan wanted to be worshipped, and he wanted to be feared. His desire was to have dominion and rulership. That was what he wanted. Same today, he still wants the same thing. Satan's desire was to be like God. The throne was his purpose and his passion, even when he was Lucifer. Notice what the scripture says about the devil's man, the Antichrist, when he makes his appearance on this earth. Check this out in 2 Thessalonians 2. He says, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Perdition meaning eternal destruction. Says that he is referring to the Antichrist who will one day rule the world and could be a lot sooner than any of us even can imagine. And it says that he opposes, notice this, he opposes and exalts himself. What did Lucifer say? I will exalt my throne. I will sit upon the mount of the assembly. I will ascend above the heights. I will make myself. What does the Antichrist do? Bible says he opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. He exalts himself above all that is called God or all that is worshiped, so that he, look at this, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you realize that the temple that we read about in the Old Testament, and of course with everything going on in Israel today, the war that is now going on, all of that is telling us, my friends, that he's coming back, and he's coming back soon. And it's an incredible sight, one of the most powerful experiences is when our group from our church in 2019 went to Israel, and we went to the Wailing Wall. They don't really call it so much the Wailing Wall anymore, but it's called the Western Wall. But it is the remnant of the wall that was around the Old Testament temple. You see, everything going on out there today is because they want Jerusalem. Because it's the most holy place. It's where Abraham went to sacrifice his son. It was the place of the presence of God. Muslims have built a mosque there called the Dome of the Rock. It's just a stone's throw on the other side of that wall. But to go to that wall and to gather there, the men on the left side, all the women on the right side, and with all of those Orthodox Jews as they are there praying, the scriptures open, it was an incredible, incredible experience. You know what they're praying? They're praying for the Messiah to come. See, they don't believe that Jesus was the Messiah. They call it the Wailing Wall because the Jews would gather there and they're in a mode of prayer and they're petitioning, they're praying, and they're rocking back and forth. And that's why they called it the Wailing Wall. It's an incredible place. But in that temple that at one time was on that spot, inside of that temple was a place called the Holy of Holies that had the Ark of the Covenant. And there was something else that was there in that temple, and it was called the Mercy Seat. And the Ark of the Covenant and the Mercy Seat and all the things that are there represented the presence of God. So it represented, get this, the throne. Jesus went to the cross to get you to the throne. But what we read here, notice it. The Antichrist will sit on the throne in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. This is a perfect example that shows us the devil wants the throne. The throne represents power. The throne represents authority. The throne represents rulership. This is always what Satan has been after and continues to this day, because the devil wants the throne. Let me move to another point to talk about. Dominion and rulership was given to Adam. Here is an intriguing passage of scripture in Psalms 8. He says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor." Crowned him. Do you see it? You crowned him. A crown is associated with a throne, a place of power, a place of rulership. So he's making a reference to creation. You have made humanity a little lower than the angels, but you have crowned him with glory and honor. You made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You will put all things under his feet. Do you see it? He's talking about the rulership of humanity. Check this out in Genesis 1:26. God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Every time my wife screams in the house when she sees a cockroach, and if it's a flying cockroach, it's a loud scream. And every time I come and stomp one of them things, I execute dominion. Hallelujah. Because he says, over every creeping thing. Now, I have no idea why God created cockroaches, but I'm so glad that I can stomp them out. Hallelujah. Now, these verses tell us that man was created to share the authority of the throne. Are you still with me? Created to share it. Adam was created for a rulership, but he lost it through sin. That's how he lost it. He lost it through sin. He was created for rulership. He was created for dominion, but he lost it through sin. You lose the power of rulership and authority when sin gets a hold of you. If you yield to sin's power, to sin's temptation, then it will begin to control you. It can be in the forms of drugs. It can be in the form of alcohol. It can be in the form of money. It can be in all kind of forms. Because he's also after the throne that is in your heart. Are you still with me? See, the devil is after the throne. The throne is a place of God's presence. It is the eternal abode of God Almighty. It is a place of his glory. It is a place of his power. The purpose of God was to share his glory with all of mankind. Think about that. And the sharing of God's kingdom in glory is referenced in the Gospels by Christ himself. That's why he said this in Luke 12. Seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The Father gives us the kingdom because of the dominion of Christ. Adam was created for the throne, to share in rulership with God. Now, if he would have rejected the tree of knowledge and would have ate of the tree of life, he would have passed, because he would have passed the test of righteousness, he would have passed into a position of greater rulership, of greater power, of greater authority, because he would have connected with the throne of God's rulership and kingdom. Are you with me on that? But he failed miserably. He messed it all up. And the scripture says that Adam was the created son of God. Created son of God. But Jesus was the only begotten or the only birthed son of God. Adam forfeited his dominion and authority, but Jesus redeemed it back for you and I. Listen to how Paul defines it in Romans 5. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, it is much more certain that we are reconciled and that we shall be saved. I love this in the Amplified Bible. Daily delivered from sin's dominion. So every single day, God has a plan of victory for you and I. Every single day. That's why he says we are daily delivered from sin's dominion through his resurrected life. Not only so, but we also rejoice and we, he says, exultingly glory in God in his love and perfection through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received and enjoy our reconciliation. Now, friends, get this. When Adam forfeited his authority, he became dominated by sin and death. And that's why Paul said in the book of Romans that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. It is a higher law. But Adam forfeited his authority and he became dominated by this law of sin and death. Completely dominated by it. He lost the power to rule. And guess what? He was now ruled and controlled by sin. So because of that, stick with me here. Adam was unable to access the throne of God because of sin and disobedience. Because of Adam's sin choice, he gave the devil legal authority over all of the human race. Are you still with me? Gave legal authority. So the result was that all of earth's inhabitants would now be under Satan's dominion. No throne, no authority was the result. That was the result of it. Consider this in 1 John chapter 5. The apostle says, we know absolutely that anyone born of God does not deliberately and knowingly practice committing sin. But the one who was, boy, this is an encouraging statement right here. It says, but the one who was begotten of God carefully watches over and protects him. Christ's divine presence within him preserves him against the evil. And the wicked one does not lay hold or get a grip on him or touch him. Now, we know positively that we are of God and the whole world around us is under the power of the evil one because they are dominated by the principle of sin and bondage. See, that's why we preach the gospel, so that people can be saved, so they can be born again, so they can be reconciled. Again, Jesus went to the cross to get you to the throne, my friend, because Adam lost access to the throne. It's always about the throne. And that brings me to the next thought. The purpose of the underworld is to possess the throne. Now, because Jesus was born of a virgin, the powers of hell had no authority over him. None whatsoever. The temptation in the wilderness was a plot of Satan to entice him to act independently of God. I've already kind of referenced that. So to act independently would have given the underworld the authority of the throne. Are you still with me on this? If he would have acted independently, then Satan would have still maintained the edge. He would have been in charge. He'd have been in control. They would have the rulership. The underworld would have the rulership and not Jesus. Notice what Jesus said here as the moment of his death on the cross was approaching. It's in John 14, 30. He's speaking to his followers. He said, I will not talk with you much more. For the prince, there it is, the prince, the evil genius, the ruler of this world is coming. And he has no claim on me. Do you realize there are churches today that are teaching that the virgin birth is a myth? Those are churches born out of hell. Can I be blunt? Because if you eliminate that, there's no faith, there's no hope, there's nothing. Devil's in control. But there are churches that are in deception, and they deny the virgin birth. Stay as far away from those churches as you possibly can. See, because Jesus was not a son of Adam because he was virgin born. That's why he could say, he has no claim on me. He has nothing in common with me. There is nothing in me that belongs to him, and he has no power over me. Hallelujah. He has no authority over Christ because Jesus stayed sinless. He never acted apart from God the Father. So what is the plan of the underworld to presently defeat Jesus? Well, I'm glad you asked. I want to share with you one of the most intriguing verses that you will find in all of the New Testament. And it's recorded for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're talking about his death on the cross. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says this, but rather what we are setting forth is a wisdom of God once hidden from human understanding, but now revealed to us by God. What is he talking about? He's talking about the hidden mystery of salvation. He's talking about the hidden mystery of Jesus Christ. He's talking about what Christ would accomplish on the cross. He says it is a wisdom of God. Mysterious. It's been hidden from human understanding, but it has now been revealed. And he says that wisdom which God devised and decreed before the ages, again, bringing us into eternity past, before the world was created. He said God devised it and decreed it before the ages. Notice this, for our glorification. What? For our glorification? Notice what the Amplified Bible says. To lift us into the glory of his presence. What is he talking about? He's talking about the throne. Are you still with me? To get us to the throne. Now, this next statement is incredible. It says, none of the rulers of this age or world perceived or recognized or understood this. For if they had, they would never have crucified the Lord of glory. In other words, they didn't know there was a resurrection coming, where Jesus would then say, all power and authority is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Hallelujah. They didn't understand this wisdom of God. But notice what this says. He says, the rulers of this age. Now, we talked about this word, I think, in the first message. The word rulers here means first in rank and power. It means chief rulers, princes, magistrates. Remember Paul's word to the Ephesians, that we are not fighting flesh and blood. Let's visit it. Ephesians 6:12. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents. Because remember, those powers control them, right? We just read in 1 John, the whole world is under the power of the wicked one. He influenced Judas. Even at one time, he was speaking through Peter. Y'all remember that? And Peter rebuked the devil. He said, you know not what you're saying. See, because it's not just flesh and blood. This is what he's saying. We're not just wrestling with flesh and blood. We are contending against the despotisms. You know what that word despotism means? It means oppressive power and authority. See, the work of the kingdom of darkness is always to oppress you, to control you, to keep you from the throne of God's presence. There might be some of you here today, you might be under oppressive power and authority. If there's some sin that's controlling you, God wants to get you to the throne. Jesus died on the cross to get you to the throne. But these powers are working against you. So he says, we are fighting against the despotism, the oppressive power and authority. He goes on and he says, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers. Wait a minute. What do we read in 1 Corinthians 2? He says, none of the rulers of this age or this world perceived or recognized. So he said, we are dealing, we are fighting, we are wrestling with the world rulers of this present darkness. He says, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural realm. Wow. This is incredible insight into what Jesus did for us on the cross. Now, what these verses are teaching us, my friend, is that long before the Roman officials and the Jewish leaders plotted to kill Jesus, there was another plot in the realm of the underworld. And Satan and his rulers devised a plan for the death of the Son of God. They could not get him to sin. They couldn't even get him to curse. Y'all ever curse anybody out lately? Hands going up all over the building. They couldn't even get him to curse because the Bible says there was not one foul mouth or one foul word that ever came out of his mouth. Never once did a foul word come out of his mouth. So they couldn't get him to sin. They couldn't get him to curse. They couldn't get him to act independently of God. They could not move him away. Because remember, he's virgin born. He's not a son of Adam. So Satan had no access. He had no legal authority. He had no power over him. See, this is the hidden mystery. This is the wisdom that Paul is referring to here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The rulers of this world, they didn't understand it. Satan had no power over Jesus. Jesus would be able to become the Messiah King. Guess what that means? It means that Jesus would ascend to the throne. If the underworld could kill the Messiah King, there would be no godly king. There would be no righteous kingdom. The devil's kingdom would remain in place and it would remain unchallenged. The throne of authority of the entire underworld would remain in place. Satan would still have the upper hand. But Jesus went to the cross to get you to the throne. See, the devil's kingdom is all around us. It's in the entire world. The throne of authority of the underworld is very active today. Satan has the upper hand over all of the world, over all political leaders, unless they're born again people of God. Unless they know Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. This throne of authority in the underworld, my friend, is very active. Satan has the upper hand. All of the seed of Adam, if Jesus would have messed up, all of the seed of Adam would remain under the devil's power. And you know what else that means? It means the throne of God, the very throne of God would remain inaccessible. Sin would continue to dominate. It would continue. There will be no promise of heaven, no enjoyment of God in eternity, but the devil didn't know that the death of Christ would be his defeat. He didn't know it would be his judgment. He didn't understand when Jesus said to his disciples, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." What does that mean? It means he would be defeated. It means sin would no longer continue to dominate. It means now there's a promise of heaven. Now we have the incredible promise of being with God in eternity. But the devil didn't understand all of that. He didn't know it would be his judgment. He didn't understand that there would be a victory of a resurrection. Paul says that salvation is a result of hidden wisdom. And that's why he says in 1 Corinthians 2:7 that we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. There it is again, for our glory. What does that mean? It means for the throne. It means to get us to the throne. Hallelujah. Jesus did everything that he could possibly do to get you to the throne. Think about it. The Bible says, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. And he is now what? Seated where? At the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. the joy that was set before him. What joy? To get you to the throne. Everything he did, my friend, was to get you to the throne. His cross, this is my last point that I want to expound on. His cross gets you to the throne. Listen to how Philippians 2 says, declares it. He says, therefore God has highly exalted him, given him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. Now, let's just get some clarification here. What does this say? It says he's highly exalted and has a name that is above every name. Where is he highly exalted to? To the throne, right? He's at the throne. Hallelujah. And he says that he has all power and all authority. And he says at the very name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess he is Lord. But notice what he says, of those in heaven, those on the earth, and those under the earth. The underworld. Do you see this? The underworld. Jesus is exalted. Remember who wanted to be exalted. Are you still with me? Yeah, Lucifer. He wanted to be exalted. He attempted exaltation by rebellion, but Jesus secured it by humility. And his death on the cross opened the portal to the throne. Hallelujah. Check this out. Colossians 1. For it has pleased the Father that all divine fullness, the sum total of divine protection, powers, and attributes, should dwell in him permanently. And that God proposed that through or by the service, the intervention of him, the Son, all things should be completely reconciled back to himself, whether on earth or in heaven. Has through him, the Father, made peace by means of the blood of his cross. Check this out. And although you at one time were estranged and alienated from him and were of a hostile attitude of mind, because of your wicked activities. Amen, brother. Yet now, Christ, the Messiah, reconciled you to God in the body of his flesh through death in order to present you holy and faultless and irreproachable in his Father's presence. Do you see it? To present you where? In the Father's presence. Where is the Father's presence? Heaven is my throne. Earth is my footstool. That's what God said. Think about it, my friend. To present you to the throne of God. At Stephen's martyrdom in the book of Acts, he is being stoned to death. All of a sudden, the veil is opened up and he's able to look into the spirit realm. And what does he see? He sees Jesus standing. Where? At the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, hallelujah. And then what does he say? He says, Lord, don't lay this sin to their charge. Forgive them. And the Bible says that in his dying breath, receive me, Lord God. Receive me, Lord Jesus. Receive my spirit. Where did he go? He went to the throne. In the book of Revelation, we have a vision of the throne described. It's in Revelation chapter 5. I didn't even put these on the sermon notes today. This is just lanyap, baby, right here. This is lanyap. He says, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. To him who sits where? On the throne. Oh, hallelujah. My friend, he went to the cross to get you to the throne. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. He said, then I saw thrones. Are you still with me? He said, I saw thrones, and seated on them were those to whom authority was given. And they had authority given to them to execute judgment. Who is that? Believers. Paul said it this way to the church at Corinth. I tell you, I could give you, I'm just giving you just a little bit. I could give you example after example after example after example after example after example on this subject today. I'm just kind of highlighting some of those that are just powerful and will help you to get a revelation of what I am talking to you about today. But think about this. Paul writing to the church at Corinth, and they're having earthly disputes. In other words, they're having disagreements among themselves. They're fussing and fighting among themselves. Who ever heard of such a thing? So then Paul brings a little clarity, and he says, you shouldn't be bringing these orders before a court or before a judge. Don't you know that you are going to judge angels? Say what? You will judge angels. He said, are you not qualified to judge the most insignificant things on this earth? Why would they judge angels? Well, in Revelation 24, I saw thrones, those seated on them, to whom authority was given to judge. The throne. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:12, he said, if we suffer with him, he said, we shall reign with him. Reign where? On the throne. Oh, hallelujah. Another one. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. He said, we are a joint heir. We are heirs of God and joint heirs of Jesus Christ. Romans 8, 37. He says, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. Jesus went to the cross to get you to the throne. And that's why the Bible says that we will rule and reign with Christ throughout all of eternity. Man, I could have went to the book of Daniel and gave you other examples today. The Old Testament prophets and given you other examples today. My friend, God has predestined you to be at his throne and to be at his throne forever and ever and ever and ever. Jesus went to the cross to get you to the throne. Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, he says he has raised us up together and he has made us to sit together. Where? In heavenly places. Do you see it? It's always a battle for the throne. And if you are struggling today, if you are not walking in victory today, it is because somebody is executing authority over the throne. If drugs are controlling you, they are on the throne. If alcohol is controlling you, it's on the throne. If money is controlling you, it's on the throne. If sex addiction is controlling you, it's on the throne. But Jesus went to the cross to get you to the throne of his power and his authority and his anointing. Book of Hebrews chapter 2. He says, a scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. He said, you have anointed me more than anyone else. It's a messianic statement. It's in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 8. Like I said, I could give you verse after example, verse after verse after verse, but I only have a limited amount of time. And my time is now up. And I want you to understand that the forces of the underworld are battling and fighting because they are trying to usurp the authority of the throne. But it doesn't have to happen, because everything that you need to walk in victory has been provided.